the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme. That's not a new scheme in and of itself, but it has been piloting independent assessments in efforts to make access fairer and more efficient. However, many disability advocates say it's a step backwards, labelling the current format of the assessments as dehumanising, or the proposed assessments. Here to speak with us is the Chief Executive Officer of the PDCN, Serena Ovens. Serena, how's it going? Thanks so much for joining the show.
Great, thanks, Jared. Thanks so much for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So I should just say, first up, the PDCN is, of course...
The Physical Disability Council of New South Wales. All right, so we're the peak advocacy body for people with physical disabilities.
And do you maybe want to give us a quick rundown then of, I guess, the changes to the scheme and I suppose what you're not so fond of?
So when we're talking about the independent assessments, which is the really big change that's being touted at the moment, mm-hmm. we're talking about every single person in the scheme, over 400,000 people, having to go either face-to-face or in many cases over the phone with a completely unknown individual, allied health professional, not even their own GP, doctor, specialist, but an allied health professional, a physio or an OT or someone that may have no understanding of them or their disability, unfortunately, and sit through what is touted to be a three-hour session with 180 questions that are set questions. They don't necessarily take into account anybody's individuality, their actual abilities, but they look at a health side of things, which is really not where we want to be. So we see this as a huge step backwards for people with disability in the scheme. It was something that came up in the TUNE review a couple of years ago that was undertaken looking at the scheme in its infancy and what could be improved. And it was something that the TUNE review recommended, but it recommended it as being something that should be a voluntary thing that really was touted to be done for people where they didn't have the documentation that they needed, where they didn't have access or the money to afford to see a specialist or to get those documents and assessments that they needed, and that this scheme would provide for them. However, what we're seeing is something that looks to be compulsory for every single person in the scheme, not only for accessing the scheme, but on a yearly basis for when they have to come and do a plan review, which is a considerable amount of time and effort and something that people are really worried about.
Yeah, of course. What was the nature of the scheme up until this point? Was it simpler than this? Was eligibility criteria maybe a little bit more sensitive in that sense that those that are in a position where they need to get on this scheme for whatever reason it might be, of course, like kind of financial stability. Was it relatively simple prior to this, and this is a knee-jerk reaction to whatever it is, like you said, in June last year? Is it needless, or, I don't know, could it be moulded to something that, I guess, would be better going forward?
Yeah, look, I think it's certainly not needless. And as I said, there are perhaps a small percentage of people who, when they're trying to become a part of the scheme, may actually need an independent assessor to help them understand the process to actually ensure that they have the documentation or the information that they need. But for many other people, accessing the scheme, it's not easy, but many people have done it, and they do it because they have years' worth of specialist information on their own disability. They have GPs and specialists that know them, know their unique individual challenges, and the scheme was always touted to be about the individual. So it was about choice and control and the reasonable and necessary supports that an individual needed. So when you access a scheme, you do it because you have a disability that's of a significant type, and there are many types of disabilities that are an automatic tick in the box, that as soon as you have a particular type of disability, if you're in list A, you know that you can access the scheme. So it shouldn't even be needed for some people because their type of disability automatically says they're due to be a part of the scheme. For others, they might need to be assessed, but they've already gone through that so many times in their lives through their own specialists, their own GPs. If those people know how to provide the documentation that the scheme needs, and it might be about educating them to understand how to fill out the paperwork correctly, then they're already three steps ahead of an absolute stranger coming in and maybe doing it over the phone without even seeing the person and going through a set of questions that might not be any different for someone with physical disability or intellectual disability or a mental health issue or a mixture of all three.
All this uncertainty around it, and I suppose, I don't know, I've got information here in front of me saying that some individuals might be quote-unquote forced to sit in a room, potentially with someone unqualified to answer up to approximately 200 questions over a number of hours. What kind of, I guess, effect can this have on maybe an individual's mental well-being or their I don't want to say self-esteem, but self-esteem and alike and stuff like this, just to, like you said, do something that they've done a million and one times over their lifehood?
Look, it can be really quite soul-destroying. So for people with mental health challenges, it can be really difficult to even admit that, let alone having to go over the same questions and queries that they have answered and dealt with many times in their lives. For some of our members who are people with physical disability, their disability is actually quite stable. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily change. And once they're in the scheme, why do they need to keep telling this story over and over again? How come they can't be, you know, right-holding individuals that can speak about what their disability is without having to tell their story every single year? This is a very costly exercise if you're asking people to do this over and over. Mm-hmm. So compulsory-wise, absolutely no way. If someone wants them, then we suggest that they should be available to someone that would want them to access the scheme, but they should no way be compulsory.
So surely I would imagine if they've implemented something like this from this stage, and the fact that they're making it as compulsory is to maybe, I don't know, circumvent people rorting the system or stuff like that. Is that something that we see at this stage, we've seen in the past, and is this a reaction to that? Or, I don't know, is that maybe being a little bit dramatic?
Look, I think they're certainly looking at it as a bit of a cost-cutting exercise. Mm-hmm. We're very concerned. We've had individuals that have gone through the pilot project and they've been asked, well, what would it take to get you off the scheme? Now, someone who has a substantial lifelong disability is not going to be able to be removed from the scheme. So it's really quite concerning that they're talking that sort of language. The aim of the scheme is to make someone as independent as possible and to achieve their goals and live the very best life that they can. And that looks different for every single person. It can be, and we have seen, of course, that different people get different plans, and sometimes people who can better speak for themselves and tell their needs more accurately may achieve a better plan than the next person. So sure, ensuring that people are able to get what they need and be well catered for under the scheme is important. Equally, ensuring that people aren't over catered for is just as important, so everybody does have what they need and we don't end up with a scheme that can't support itself. But it really is important this is done for the right reasons.
Sorry to interrupt, go on.
You're okay. No, go for you.
Just very quickly then, we do have to move on. We've got news headlines coming up in just a couple of minutes, or rather the news bulletin. But when you say how this scheme can best cater to an individual and alike and such, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean, I guess, with assistance from other individuals, from services? Is it purely financial? What other things go into this?
In terms of how someone gets the best supports for their needs?
Yeah, I suppose, like the not the quote there, but the quote being like this is intended to, I can't remember the exact quote that you said, but to facilitate someone into living their best possible life or something like that. What is that? So is that purely financial or is there
no,
other elements?
No, it's absolutely about what someone wants to achieve. So it's about your own goals as an individual. As an individual with a disability, what do you need to get to work if that's your goal? To live an average, ordinary life, but be able to get out and socialise and be with friends and family. So what things might you need? And that can be very different. For someone with intellectual disability, they might need someone to support them in getting on a train and getting to work. They might need someone to support them at work. For someone with a physical disability, it might be having a wheelchair that's scripted correctly so that they can actually independently access day-to-day from home to their workplace or from home to their place of learning, etc. So everybody has very different needs. And for someone who's really independent, they might do everything they need, but all they need is actual equipment. Or if they have high-level needs, they might need supports, people that come in and help them shower or literally get out of bed or make their meals, etc. So it's about looking at what someone needs functionally to work as opposed to medically, and everybody is different. So how we can have an assessment process that has 180 questions that are, you know, a block of questions and same for every single person is unrealistic, as are having a very, very small group of assessors that don't have that understanding of the huge range of disability and aren't necessarily able to cater for each and every different person that comes their way.
It's awful to think that there might be barriers in place for that. But thanks so much for joining the show this morning, Serena. I do appreciate your time, and I hope that maybe this can be nipped in the bud a little bit going forward to make it as easy as possible for those that need it.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time, Jared.
Cheers. Thanks so much.
Cheers. Bye.
That was Serena Ovens, the Chief Executive Officer of the Physical Disability Council of New South Wales, speaking about some new changes that have been made to the National Disability Insurance Scheme.